So far, we've really been learning by way of Hakdama, by way of introduction, that we're allowed to be happy, we discovered. We're allowed to have simcha in our lives. Not only are we allowed to, but even on the simplest level, we were talking about the basis of repairing what went wrong with Shittim, that there is a foolishness and there is a leitzonis that can bring man down to the lowest level. And like everything in this world, Hashem created Zelu Mazeh Asar Elokim. For everything that exists in purity, it has a counterpart in holiness, and these two are pitted against each other. So we were learning about a holy type of silliness, foolishness, to open a Jew's heart to be able to serve Hashem. And now we're going to talk about, to continue to understand what we need to do to remove those things that are disrupting the natural simcha that really is inside each and every one of us. So we're on page Tavkuf Samach Vav, that's the third page where it says Beis. If you don't have it, then it's important to listen, and maybe we can make some more copies of Mitzvah Shem. Nishtadal on Beis. Nishtadal adabim inyin echot. See, one of the common mistakes that we make is we assume that unless there's something to make us happy, something like extra special that happens, the general assumption is either I'm sort of an even keel or I'm, God forbid, not happy. But I need some special extracurricular super duper deluxe thing to make me happy. That's a terrible, terrible misunderstanding of what a Jew is. The natural state of a Jew is that he's besimcha. Oiz v'chedva b'mkomo means that since each and every one of us is filled with the presence of Hashem, with the children of Avi, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, every one of us possesses a neshama, and godliness, elokus, means simcha, means joy, the joy that comes with knowing the truth, the joy that comes with feeling the truth. Joy here doesn't mean like happy, you know, the way that it's used in the street, of course, but a feeling of enrichment and joy. So we naturally are besimcha. The problem is that there are ikuvim, there are minias, there are things that are obstructing the natural flow of joy that is the result of the godliness that fills each and every one of us. The same way that I mentioned last summer, that Rav Kook, in his introduction to the Siddur, he wrote, HaNeshama Tamid Mispalelis. That means that the Neshama is constantly davening. See, you and I think that, we have to try to have some good kavana during davening. Rav Kook said, the Neshama is constantly davening because the Neshama, the soul, is constantly in God's presence and is aware of Hashem. But there are minias, there are things that are obstructing that awareness of Hashem is Baruch within us. It's the same problem when it comes to simcha. We don't need to create reasons to be happy. We are naturally happy. We need to remove the artificial obstructions that are blocking that happiness. Sometimes, lo aleinu, these are chemical difficulties. I'm not, of course, overlooking that. And Baruch Hashem, modern medicine, modern science, psychiatry has revealed that there are certain chemical imbalances that can be helped medically, that can be helped. Also, the point there is not to create simcha in a person. I've had this with many individuals have spoke to me who are taking different medication, and they're feeling much better, and they feel guilty, of course, about feeling happy. And they're wondering, am I really happy, or am I happier, or is this some ridiculous, like, drug-induced state that I'm in? But I'm not really happy. So I explained that the purpose of the medication is to remove those unnatural, unhealthy things that are blocking the real simcha that you have. In other words, being unhappy is a disease, is a sickness. When sometimes, if it's a chemical difficulty that's obstructing the natural simcha, and there's something that can be done medically, either it could be purely on a medical basis, or it could be with alternative medicine, whatever that is, but if there's something that can be done to remove that obstacle, so then the natural state of simcha is allowed to express itself. It's not unnatural. That's really who you are. So he says, Nishtadl Dabra Minin Echad, Shal Yodo Hayetzer Moneo Son of Elios Besimcha. He says, let's discuss one issue. But you'll see, it's the issue of life, pretty much, that is standing in the way of our Simcha. The Kais Bisman Simcha Sein, remember that this talk was given in Sukkot's time. So he's saying now that it's Zman Simcha Sein, it's the time of our Simcha. Meir Hashem Yisbarach B'sacheinu is kol mashe nitzvach kadei shenizkel l'shtadl is gaber alav. We have all the koiches that we could possibly have during the time of Zman Simcha Seinu. Certainly, one has all of the koiches to be able to overcome and to eliminate, or to at least to diminish, that which is obstructing the natural simcha that we should be feeling. V'ideze nizke be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach l'hagiyah l'midas ha-simcha. And then we could reach midas ha-simcha. Will be able to experience Simcha. Now this is going to be, some surgery is going to take place now, over the next few oisiyas, and each and every one of us will realize that if we're honest with ourselves, this is something that it's definitely part of our lives. It's chaval, because it really is taking away so much of the Simcha we could have. Kosuv min tzaddikim. Now, everybody knows, everybody remembers that Rivki Imenu was terribly, terribly distraught about what was going on inside of her. She wasn't sure what it was. But you know that according to Chazal, what was taking place was that Bishol she Yaakov Esav is raised to Bekirba, Yaakov and Esav were in some state of agitation or conflict inside of her. She'inim b'zehaya. Now remember, she didn't know what was going on because, as Rashi says from Chazal, when she would pass a place of holiness, she would feel the kicking, and then when she would pass the place of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry, she would also feel kicking. So she thought that she has some kind of a mixed up kid. You know what's going on, and therefore, the reason that she was so terrified was she thought that she had, that there was one child, that was torn between two worlds, that was excited by holiness and was excited by impurity. Lachain hi amra, therefore, when she went to cry, to ask what this means, she said, Im kain lo meze anoichi. In other words, there's no point to my life. What point is there to my life? What point is there to have a child and to have a future of such confusion? Ki odom mu'urav. He's a mixed up person inside of me. Shekarfetz the Bate Midrashas. He's jumping to go to Bis Medrash. He wants to go learn. He wants to daven. He wants all things that are good. V'gam karfetz chas v'shom l'hepech. But when you pass by the wrong place, when I pass by the wrong place, he's also excited. Zo hadov ha-garu b'yoseh. This is the worst thing of all. This is the Eitz Hadas Tavira, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which the Zohar calls, as I mentioned last year, the Zohar calls the Ilana de Sveika, the tree of doubt. The tree of doubt. So therefore she asked, Im kein lo meze anoichi. V'al zeh heishiv la'Hashem Yisbarach, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassured Rivki Imenu. Don't worry, she says, Shnayim v'le'echad, you're having twins. In other words, there is one who is committed to the Beis Medrash with his entire being, and there's another one who's entirely committed to the wrong side, but with all of his being. Now, you know that the yesod of all the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his students is that everything that we learn in Chumash applies to each and every one of us now. You know that the Torah did not tell us the entire life of Rivka Imenu. The Torah tells us only a few psukim about Rivka's life. There's very little. And in one pasuk, you're passing by 70 years, right? 80 years. So therefore, if the Torah has chosen to focus on a pasuk, on an event in the tzaddikus' life, so that means that this is a Torah, which is in the lashon of hora'ah, it means it's something to teach each and every one of us, every moment of our lives, that all of us are going through this all of the time. So what is the Torah, what is it that the Torah is revealing and teaching us through this predicament that Rivka Imenu thought she was in, and the reassurance of Hashem, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, Ushnei le'umim me me'ayich yiperedu, that there are two nations that are developing in your womb. So what is the teaching here? Obezeh, hey, Hashem is baruch l'kol yachid v'yachid. She yizker tamid, that a Jew has to always remember. She gam kol Yehudi b'fnei atzmo eino davar echad. Just like Rivki Meina thought that this is one being that's equally interested in two worlds, so too a Jew might think when he sees in his own life, in her own life, that what? That there is definitely a fascination with holiness, with Kedusha, and I want to be better, and I want to daven, and I want to learn, and I want to bring my children up the right way. I want to be a good person, I want to have good midas, I want to be a good mother, a good friend, and so on. But then on the other hand, there is a darker side. There is this strange side, which I use the word strange because the pasuk says, Lo yebucha el zar. The Gemara says that anger is called the stranger within oneself. So when a person loses his temper, and you look at yourself, right, on a especially difficult day, especially if you've yelled at a little one that you love, and you can't believe that you've done that, and am I the same person? What kind of a person I am? This Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. You know, I have this crazy split personality. I can be with some people the sweetest, the finest, the kindest. I could run around doing all kinds of mitzvahs and chasadim, and then in my own world, I see this terrible dark side. When it comes to midas, when it comes to other inyanim that are not necessarily pleasant or holy. So the tzaddik is explaining that this is exactly what Hashem is Baruch was telling Rivki Imenu. She yizker tomer, that a Jew has to always know. She gam kol Yehudi b'fnei atzmo eino davar echad. You should know that you also are not just one being. What does that mean? So that doesn't sound any better. So what does that mean? Elohu shnei chalokim nifradim hanimitzoyim b'kfifa achas. There are really two selves that are joined together, that are actually imprisoned, that are held in one cell, that's called the guf, the body. V'ha'esev shabai, there is an esev, there is that quality in a person, that's called esev. That's why I mentioned many times that Reb Mendel Kotzke used to say, when Chazal said, Dom ashatoshev l'apikaris, right? You should know how to respond to a heretic. So the Kotzke said, that doesn't mean somebody that you meet on the street, it means you should know how to respond to the heretic inside of yourself. There's a little esev inside each person. V'ha'esev shabai, eino hu. You have to know that it's not really you. It's not who you are in your essence. Eino hu. Ela hareze shutif. It's a shutif. There is a partnership. Shenimsa mechuba elav, that's attached to you. V'tachlisai shel ha'esev shabo. And the whole objective of this esev inside of you, of course, is to give free choice, to make life meaningful. Liyos nichna tachtav. But you should know that the ultimate tachlis of that esev inside of you is to submit to who you really are. That it should become submissive to the essential self, to who you really are. As Chazal say, that Pnina and the Satan, whatever they did was l'shem shemayim. Even the Satan, even esev, on some level, is working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing that's detached from God. There's nothing in this world that can function against Hashem is Baruch's will. And the Zohar has an amazing mashal that compares the Yetzirah to an immoral woman that was hired by the king to seduce the prince, to test whether he was really devoted to his father, to the king. And in the end, even that immoral woman is rewarded for doing her job, for doing her work. So the Yetzirah, the Satan, the Esev inside of a person, it's not the essence of who a Jew is. Kerei kol Yehudi hu neshama kedosha. The essence of a Jew is that a Jew is a neshama kedosha. It's a holy neshama. Achtsuva mitachas kisya kavod. That's not, could be kavod, not kavet. Right? A neshama that was formed beneath the throne of Hashem's glory. V'hi megiyah mehamokim ha-gevoy b'yoyser. And this neshama came from the highest of places, which according to Chazal, a Yiddish neshama, the neshama of a Jew, comes from a world that is above the world of all malachim, of all angels. I remember I read that there was a Jew, there was a yeshiva bacher who had a friend, this is in Europe, who had a friend who came from America. You know, very few Americans went in those days, went to Europe to learn in the yeshivas in Litton, Lithuania. It was a very, very hard life there, and it was very unusual for American bachrim to go. So there was a bachur that was learning, I believe, in Kamenitz, and he had an American. There was a bachur that came from America that he befriended, and this bachur from America was told by his parents. He was there for a year or two, and the parents wanted him back. So the European chaver said, before you go back, you must come with me to get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. How could you have been here for a year or two and not have received the bracha from Chafetz Chaim? So the American bracha agreed, and when they went together to the Chafetz Chaim, so the Litvish fellow, the bracha, said, Rebbe, this is a friend of mine who's come from a very, very long way. He's come from very, very far away to learn Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim said, where did you come from? So he said, from America. So the Chafetz Chaim said, a kleinekeit. He says, do you know where Aneshama comes from? Do you have any idea? You think America is so far away? The Chafetz Chaim said, a Yiddish Aneshama, the Neshama of a Jew comes from a world that's above everything, that's above all angels, that's mamish by the throne of Hashem's glory. And the Baruch Shalom sent that Neshama all the way down millions and millions, countless levels into this world. So he says, our neshama has taken a very long journey. From that place where the neshamas of the Jewish people are held, which is above all the malachim and serafim, all the angels. Well, on neshama kedoshu hazu mechaber mishamayim shutaf noisav, and from shamayim Hashem joins this exalted neshama with a shutif, with a strange bedfellow, with a guf, with an asav, shukol hatzad shlahepach, which is the other side, that side which is opposed to the neshama. Shekolol b'soichay as a nefesh abahamis, that includes within it the animal soul, v'yetzav v'kol chayloisav, the yetzahara and all of its troops. Now, of course, it's a little bit, we feel that it's a little bit unfair, because everybody that's familiar with sports knows that there's something that's called the home court advantage. That means that if a New York team is playing against an out of town team, there's an advantage to playing in your own stadium with your own fans. So we understand that instinctively we feel it's not fair that this game is being, it's a very serious game. I don't mean that it's not a serious, I don't mean that it's a game because it's not serious, but this event, life, is being carried out in the physical world, which seems to be an unfair advantage, a home court advantage to the Nefesh Bahamas, to the animal soul. And the tzaddikim used to complain about that. The tzaddikim used to say, Naftali Rapshitz, other tzaddikim said that if the punishments of Gehenim were something that we would actually see with our eyes, and if the fascination and the things that the Yetzer Hara talks about are things that we would only have heard about, we would certainly be better Jews. The problem is, we heard about Gehenim and Olam Haba, the next world, but the desires of this world we mamish see every day with our lives, in the shuk, in the marketplace. So there is what seems to be some imbalance. But that's only to make it possible that it should be even. Because the neshama is infinitely greater than the guf, than the body. And there's definitely an advantage that the soul has, that when that which is artificial is removed, the natural tendency of the neshama is to soar mamish and to connect to its source. As the Baal Tanya explains, the flame on the candle is flickering away from the candle, even though the flame instinctively knows, in that way that all of reality has knowledge, the flame knows that if it leaves the wick, it's going to die. And yet, the flame is constantly flickering towards heaven. It's seeking to leave the candle, which is a wondrous thing. So the Tanya says that despite the fact that the flame knows that if it leaves the candle, that its life in this world will be ended, nevertheless, like all of creation, it is yearning and craving to return to its source in godliness. So too, the natural craving of the soul is to return to Hashem. The fact that it was placed in this world in this struggle with physical reality means that we certainly have the ability to overcome the disability of being in a physical world. So he explains the next paragraph. Echad mi'ikari ha'koyches shehayetzem es garba al yodim l'hodam. One of the main weapons of the Yetzer Hara is exactly this. One of the most powerful destructive weapons of the Yetzer Hara is, of Esav, is that it convinces a person that it's part of us. In other words, that side, in that part of us, that part of us that causes us difficulties, it has as its main weapon this ability to convince us that that's really you. Ad kidei kach, it's not only that, but a person thinks that when I'm davening, that's not really me. When I'm good as a mother or as a friend, that's not the real me. It's when I'm misbehaving, that's the real me. And what's weird about me, and when I'm not being my true self, when I'm just faking, is when I'm davening or learning or helping and so on. That is the strength of the Yetzer Hara. Sheyachshuv shudav echad va'aydezeh v'chol pam sheyehudi moitzei bekirba kol minei koiches shveilim. Therefore, whenever a Jew detects within himself, he sees within himself somewhat, some lower things, some ugly things. Kol minei midas v'tzaynes taivas nemuchim shveilim yoyser, all types of midas and desires that are not of a finer quality. Shemamish mizbayishim l'darmim behem. He says, we're embarrassed, the person's even embarrassed to talk about them. So the Yetzer Hara seduces a person into thinking, that's who you really are. You really are such a person. This is who you are. This is what kind of a Jew you are. This causes you to become bewildered and astounded. Your heart breaks within you. Because you say to yourself, how is it possible in the middle of davening, a halimid, a learning, a Shabbos Kodesh, in the middle of a Shabbos, a yontif, and davk at a time when I thought that I really, really wanted to be a good Jew, I really wanted to serve Hashem, ubad bebad, and at the very same time, at the very same time, I see that I mamish have all these disgusting things that are still inside of me. And then the Yetzer comes and it burns and it screams with all of its strength. The shayig bekerav adam and roars within the person. You should know this is who you really are. You are one crazy, confused person. This is who you always have been, and this is who you're always going to be. Zemasha teraitza, you don't really want holiness. You want, there's a little bit inside of you that's good that wants sometimes something good, but really, what you really want are those other things. Zemasha techoishik, that's what you really desire. Ubezata munach, and this is what you're sitting in. Veloizu bilvad. Not only that, but now that you have this disgusting thought, or that you've done this, God forbid, this disgusting thing, now you are able to finally realize who you really are and what you're really made of. And that until now you were fooling yourself. You were fooling yourself with your davening, with your pretending to be good, with all your parenting and special seminars on gutzkeit and niceskeit and all those other things. You're really fooling yourself. That's not who you really are. So then a person feels like Rivki Yemenu and says, "Im kein lo mezeh anoichi." What's the purpose of my life? What's the tachas of my life? I can be already 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and I haven't gotten anywhere. I'm the same confused person when I was 15, 16 years old. I don't get it. Ela noisef al zeh. And not only that, mamshich hayetzeh b'shagoyseh reizeh simen mufuk. The Yetzer Hara continues in its monologue by saying that what? Simon Muvuk. This, by the way, now that you've had this horrible day, this is a Simon Muvuk. This is a clear sign, an unmistakable sign. That all of your davening and all of the work that you've been doing and all of your tshuva, it's not worth a thing. It's not worth a thing. Hakol hevel, it's narishkeit. All narishkeit. Hevel, what does hevel mean? How does Shlomo Melch begin Kehelis? Seven times. Havel, havolim, ha'amakal, hakol hevel. Right? Hevel, narishkeit. It's all worthless. You know what Rabbi Yitzchak Meditshava, how he learned that pasuk? Now, you know the Meditshava made everything sweet, right? That's why it's, even when you say his name, Hashem can't be angry with you. The tzaddikim say, if ever you feel you're in trouble, just say, in the schus of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Sarasash, and Hashem says, oh, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Sarasash, I can't be angry. When he hears his name. So Rabbi Yitzchak sweetened everything. So you know what he said about that pasuk? So, Havel Havolim Amar Kehelis says, everything is worthless, everything is hevel, right? So then he says, Amar Kehelis. Then afterwards he says, Hakol Havel. So the Beditshva says that what he was saying, Shlomo Melch, what I just said, that everything is hevel, Hakol Havel. That's not true. It's not. That's all silly what I just said. It's not hevel. The world is very beautiful. Everything is good. It's not hevel. That's hevel. That, the biggest hevel is what? Beditshva is saying that the biggest narishkeit is if you think that your life is narishkeit. That's the biggest narishkeit. That's the hevel. Hakol Havel. So the Yetzer comes and tells you that what? All of the years, all of your davening, all of your learning, it's ainah shavur klum b'hakol hevel's narishkeit. B'hakol chitzonis ba'alma. There was a, I might have mentioned this to you last year, but there was a ma'ase, I don't know if my wife will remember, this is a long time ago, but there was a wonderful balas tshuva who really turned her life around, gave up everything, the whole thing. And she once came crying, she wanted to talk to me about something, and after around 20 minutes of crying, and I thought, who knows what's going on here. After 20 minutes of crying, she blurted out that she's a Russia, she's horrible, she's evil. I mean, she went on, and I said, just, you know, I didn't know what happened. I thought, God forbid, you know, she killed someone. I didn't know what could be so evil. So this is what she told me. And she's trying to catch her breath. She said, everybody thinks that I'm this Baal Shuva, I'm so religious, and my kids have a little Peislich, you know, and everything. But when no one's home, sometimes I go into the basement and I put on a pair of slacks and I turn on an old record and I dance. That's what she said. And then she's crying. So I'm still waiting for the punchline, like the body, something. You know, what happened, the corpse, right? What happened? So she was just beside herself. And in the course of conversation, she mentioned that she did speak to a religious woman about this, who told her that she's taka in big trouble, and that she's a hypocrite, and that this is going to affect her children, even if they don't know that she's listening to music. It's going to poison them as well, because she's a hypocrite. So she said, it's bad enough that I'm destroying my own life, but I'm destroying my children. So I had a whole long talk with her about this. See, this is such a Yetzer Hara, and it's very dangerous, especially if there's some Rebbetzin or Rav that says it with authority. Hashem should save us from such people. Hashem should save themselves from those people. That a person feels that the fact that I still have an interest in something that's not right, of course, it's not holy music, and she shouldn't be dressing that way, and she shouldn't necessarily be dancing to that. Okay, to say that. But the problem here was, it wasn't just that I'm having a problem. She identified herself with that. In other words, I haven't made any progress at all. After 12 years, and having gone through 2 years in Eretz Yisrael, and, you know, 182 Shabbatons or something, and the whole business, I'm still the same lowlife Chalila that I was in college, when I was, you know, surfing in California somewhere. I'm the same lowlife. And it's heartbreaking, because I know that she's one of the few that admits this. But there are tons of people walking around feeling this way all the time. Which doesn't mean, of course, that it's an excuse for her, that one should provide an excuse for her to continue with something if it's against halacha. That's not my point. The point was that she needs to learn and understand that there is nothing evil with recognizing that with all of your progress and all of the strides that you have taken and all of the greatness that's inside of you, that the purpose of your life is to be involved in a milchama. You see, we think that being in a war, in this struggle with Esav, we think it's a sign that we're losers. It's a sign that we're losers. That's not true. The tachlis of man's life is to fight against Esav. It's not a bedavid. It's not, boy, I'm really in a terrible situation because none of my friends have these issues, only me. And the fact that I'm involved in this terrible war is an indication that I haven't made any progress. That's the biggest yetzahara in the life of an honest Jew who's seeking Hashem. This causes despair. This causes depression on many levels. So he explains. Shayemes apnimis hi shekulcha nimshach. The next page, the yetzahara tells you want to know who you really are. Pnimis behemes. I'll tell you who you really are. You really are completely drawn v'shakua and immersed umunach, and you're sitting v'dvar mishvelim in the lowest things. That's who you really are. Yeah, you also have a spark of God inside of you, but this is who you really are. The same idiot that you were all the years earlier. You're the same person. Kach marish hayetzer b'shkarav hanayroim. This is the noise that the yetzahara makes in its filthy lies. Therefore, you'll have a person that, let's say, you know, the easiest example to use when it comes to anything is dieting, right? Because many people, especially of your gender, have experienced complications and anguish and the victories and defeats in the inyan of weight management. That's a very big inyan in the modern world. It's a $1 billion business, probably much more than $1 billion. So the natural instinctive feeling of a person is, let's say you've been dieting and you've been a good girl for 2 days, right? Or 2 weeks. Let's make it better. Let's make it less realistic. So for 2 weeks, you really have been very, very careful. No, yeah, it didn't work out this Shabbos. There was that special cake, that special whatever. Or it was a special occasion, and you didn't want to insult anybody. Whatever the reason was, so you were nichshel. So you went and you ate that thing that was forbidden. So there is this crazy thing in a person's head that says, "You're the same chazer as always. You're just a big chazer that's out of control. Therefore, just live it up. You might as well, because you're doomed to feeling this way, and you're never going to get out of this. This is just who you are. You are a person that's out of control. You're overweight, and you're just going to be like that. And it's going to get worse. And there's nothing you could do. Now, this is a tactic that is extremely powerful, where a person feels that my whole life is all or nothing at all, and any progress that I've made is meaningless, because you identify yourself with the lowest common denominator. That's the nature of a person. Not only does the Yetzirah make you meshuggah with these things, you begin to actually feel that it's me that's saying these things. In other words, it's not that there's some other koach inside of me that's trying to seduce me. But this is, I myself, this is a problem that I have. It's still a, now this is even more dangerous. Because this Yetzirah appears to you in the form of somebody who's exceedingly humble. It talks to you like a tzaddik. Why? Because here you're having a broken heart, and your broken heart is telling you, you're such a worthless nothing. You're not anybody. So you always heard that's you think in your confused mind that that's the definition of what you, that's what it means to be humble. That's humility. That's not, God forbid, humility. That's the biggest mistake. That's called in the Svarim Anava Psula. It's called a humility that is puzzle. It's puzzle. It's not a kosher humility. That's not what humility means. So the person that's hearing this negativity inside oneself might even be more confused to think that this is coming from who I really am. Why? Because there's something humble about what I'm saying to myself now. And I know that to be humble is a very big mitzvah. And to be humble is a very, very great thing. So I am humbly admitting that I'm worthless. And I'm humbly admitting that I have no koach to overcome these things. And therefore, hinei ka'es ani roa mi ani. Now I'm coming to terms with who I am. I'm being honest. And always growing up, everything that we were taught says you have to be honest, you have to be honest. So I'm honestly finally coming to recognize my true self. Ka'es ani roa mi ani. I see what I really am. Ka'es ani roa mahe machukishli. Now I see what I really want in life. Mahe maritzainishli. What are my true desires? Now I see the truth that I am what? Buried in the lowest things, the kitness and smallness, pathetic smallness, the taivas desires, the midas rois, all kinds of terrible midas, or ritzainis namuchim, and the lowest ritzainis, the lowest interests and desires. This is the poison of all poisons. Sometimes it comes in an obvious way. Sometimes it comes in a very subtle way after a bad day of either thinking wrong things, doing wrong things, saying wrong things. There is this subtle koach that pulls us away from the truth. Avol tzadikim schusim agenu, the true tzadikim. Hirishu olamos. They shook worlds. V'schananu eleinu. And they begged us. They cried out to every Jew. Shenuzker heite for us to remember what Rivki Meinu was told. Mashagilu lanu, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Habalatanya, Hasfasemis, Reb Tzadik, and Chovetz Chaim. It's a very fine lineup. Vayidhar Beit Tzadikim, and many other Tzadikim over and over in this Svarim begged us to remember. Shavat, Shemahayisaydish la Yehudi, who that one of the essential points of being a Jew of Yiddishkeit is. Sheyizka Tomid, what? What Rivki Meinu was told, Sheshnei Goyim Bevitneich, there are two nations that are at war within you. V'yichya Tomim Mitoich Behirus HaAkara, and you must live always with this clarity, with this clear recognition. Shumachulak L'shnei Chalokim, that you're divided into. Da'ainu Hu Ba'atzmai, who you really are, the essential self, the essence of who you are, is Rak Neshama Kedosh, is entirely holy. Completely holy, completely besimcha, completely good. Chelak Elokei Mimal, a portion of God Mamish of Hashem Yisbarach. Shukodesh Bekedusha Atzuma, that is holy on the greatest level of holiness. Umechubet Tomid Bavinu Shemeshemayim, like Rav Kook said, inside of yourself, you're always davening. It's just that something's in the way. What do you think the Lubavitcher Rebbe Schusi again? What did he mean with his mitzvah campaigns? Now, I don't know what the Hasidim are thinking, because I don't know what they're thinking. But I know what the Rebbe taught and what he explained in his sichas. He understood that there's such a thing as a Jew who hasn't experienced tefillin, a man who hasn't put on tefillin since he was with his grandfather when he became bar mitzvah. And the Rebbe understood his unbelievable insight that even a pair of tefillin can be like a bomb, like a nuclear bomb, to blow away. Look what a Jew is. You could have a Jew who for 70 years is doing everything that's wrong, and one Jewish memory can bring out who he really is. Isn't that amazing? Who he really is with one memory. The Satan Rebbe said about the Lubavitcher, now you know that they were at odds. Not God, I don't believe God forbid on the deepest level they were, but just in different, they had different ways. So the Satan Rebbe said, Oy, their mandals are klige. He said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe is smart. He says, you think that it's so much that he wants, what does he have to, he's going to be mezakeh some achal Shabbos to put on tefillin one day? I mean, what's the big deal? He gets somebody in the street to shake a lulav. So, you know, then he goes into McDonald's. I mean, what's the big deal that he shook a lulav? He says, name. The Satmar said that what he really wants is that for the first time in 70 years, when you ask him, are you a Jew? He says the words, I'm Jewish. Because then when he goes to sleep at night, he's going to think, he won't be able to go to sleep, that he said, I'm Jewish. I'm a Jew. And what's happened to me? I'm a Jew. He says, Der Mendel's a Kliege. It's not that Tilnis is not that. It's that a Jew comes into contact with that point of Elokus, and in 1 second, it could blow away the whole delusion of Esav. Now, that wouldn't be possible if you were really Esav. It's not possible. You know something? Even so, that could be 70 years. So you could be 362 days of the year, Chalila, one way. But if Kol Nidre and Ne'ila, that's who you really are. That's who you really are. You know, there's something amazing that Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson Breslov, Nachman said and Rabbi Nosson explained. I might have mentioned it in the shiurim in the past. Chazal tell us one of the greatest tragedies in all of history was the reality that Esther had to go live with Ahasuerus. There isn't one of us who's not heartbroken every single time thinking about that. She had children with Ahasuerus. So Chazal say that Esther Malka Davin, she really didn't go herself. She sent a shade. What does that mean? Some sort of a demon, a demonic, otherworldly imposter of herself. She sent each time, that demon went with Ahasuerus. But she herself never did. So when you hear that, you think, no, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Maybe when I did that Aveira Taka, that wasn't me. I sent a shade. That wasn't me. I sent some demonic alter ego to do that Aveira. It wasn't me. So Rabbi Nachman said an amazing thing. He said, certainly Chazal are not saying that Esther didn't go herself. She had to go. And how that's possible, according to Halacha, the Gemara and Tosfos and Rishonim explain how Esther was allowed to do that. That's not for now. Now, she knew that she had to go. What does it mean that she sent a shade? What does that mean? It means that she never identified with the Esther who was living with Ahasuerus. She never saw that as her true self. She knew that who she really was the Esther that belonged to Mordechai, that belonged to the Jewish people, was that same Hadassah that grew up with her mishpacha, with her people. She knew that all along. The fact that she had to enter into that darker world, All those years, she never understood that to be, that's who I really am. It was always, that's not really me. I'm in this crazy place. And Chazal say that she would go with Ahasuerus, Toiveles, she would go to the mikveh, via Sheves Bechekel Shem Mordechai. And then she would go back to Mordechai. So, Rabbi Nachman said, that's what each and every Jew is living through, especially before Mashiach comes. That you're spending one day by Ahasuerus and you're spending another day by Mordechai. And the problem with the Jew is that you think that I'm Amish crazy, I'm this confused person, and the Yetzer Hara tells you that really, really, you are committed to the world of Ahasuerus, but there's a guilt, you're a little bit guilty, so you go a little bit to the mikveh and you go back to Mordechai. But that's exactly the point. No, even if God forbid, it's 70 years in the world of Ahasuerus, that's not who a Jew really is. That's not who a Jew really is. Do you know how differently we would speak to our children if we thought of this? Do you know how dangerous it is when we begin to identify our kids with something that's sinister, God forbid? That's sinister, like there's something terribly, terribly wrong here. But we're so used to seeing ourselves in that way. But we come to identify ourselves with something that's evil. When in truth, it's mamish not true. It's shnei goyim bevitneich, u'shnei le'umim mimeayach yipereidim. He says, if a Jew would know the truth, ki Hashem Yisbarach memalei yisonu ba'atzmi es kedushasa. That really the Baruch Shalom fills a Jew in the essence of who you are. Ba'efen shetomid yesh banu es ha-kedusha va'advekes va'achiba shal moyach ha-bein mimoyach ha-av. As the Tanya explains, that you should know that the same way. And now we know in modern times that DNA and with the study of genetics. So isn't it amazing that in modern times we know that they could have one strand of hair, right? And they know from the strand of hair. I don't know anything about science. I think even less than that. From one strand of hair, they have already is that correct? They have all the genetic, they could find out, I think, all the genetic information from one strand of hair, from like one cell or something. They could find out all of the genetic information from that one part. That means that all of the whole of where you come from is in that one part. So now we understand on a much deeper level what the Tanya was talking about. The Tanya said that whatever you've done in your life and whatever you're thinking or whatever you're saying, you should know that you're a Jew and therefore you come from Hashem Yisbarach. And the fact that Moach Ha'oz, Moach Ha'bein, that means that the parents gave birth to this child. And because of that, even though the child now is independent, he appears to be independent of his parents. His parents might have left the world a long time before. His parents might not be here anymore. But every single part of him is filled with the reality of his parents and his grandparents. It's amazing. So how much more so? Infinitely more so. That if Hashem says in the Torah, Bonim Atem, you're my children, of and Moyech HaBein, the mind of the father, the mind of the son. That means the leg is part of the father. The child is like a leg, is like an extension of his father, of his parents. V'chelek Hashem imoy mamish. And the chelek of Hashem, that portion of godliness, is within you always. V'aneshom ha'kadosh shalonu yihar be'yoyse gevom mikol ha'malochim ha'srof. And that good inside of us, that which we really are, is infinitely greater than any angel. V'kol ha'yizgarbu shel ha'yetzer, the whole power of the Yetzahara. And all of these things that all of these voices inside of us that are drawing us into terrible things. None of those disgusting voices in the head, and none of the things that we've ever done in our lives that are wrong, have the power to what? To lahachlish, to weaken, to what? Ulahachsir, to remove. Koldu, anything. Mikedushas haneshama hakedusha shalom, from the holiness of Yiddish and neshama. Kedusha sheyesh lo kolachad chelak kodesh bekedushas Yaakov. She'olav kosev. It says Yaakov chevel nachelah. So inside of each and every Jew, there's Yaakov Avinu. When you make the bracha every single day, bracha Hashem mogen Avram, right? The shield of Avram. The Ger Rebbe said, Chedushim said, you know what that means? That means that you're saying that I believe that inside of me Hashem is shielding and guarding the essence of who I am, which is Avram Avinu. Hashem guards that inside of me. You can think of that when you say Shemoneh Esrei. Mogen Avram, that Hashem will always protect the part of me that's Avram. No Esav could destroy the Avram inside of me. Nothing that I've ever said or done or that I've thought about can destroy that. It can create terrible obstructions and peels and all kinds of distortions in one's life, but it cannot take away from who you really are. Marosha kehilas Yaakov, v'zenisha tomid kodesh v'tar mezukach bli shum shemitz pegam kolduhu. That Yaakov Avinu, that Yitzchak, that Avraham Avinu inside of you remains intact no matter what. That's why I once mentioned that the Svarim, the Tzaddikim, I think it was Mendel of Urka, said that Yitzchak, Yud Tzadik Ches Kuf, is the Reshet Tevis, a Yid is a Tzadik, a Chosid HaKadosh. A Yehudi, a Jew, is a Tzadik, a Chosid HaKadosh, is Yitzchak. He says, you see, Avram became Avraham. Yaakov became Yisrael. But Yitzchak bleibt Yitzchak. Yitzchak remained Yitzchak. And even though his name didn't change, a Yid is a Tzadik, a Chosid HaKadosh. Because that's who a Jew really is. The unchanging part of you is a tzaddik, a chassid, and a kaddish. It's only the changing part that is not real. That's the shade. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's a ruach shtus. It's a craziness. You know, maybe you heard of the Arugas Abaisim, the tzaddik Arugas Abaisim. So he explained, there's a famous Rashi in Baloischa that it says that Aaron, Vayaskein Aaron, that Aaron lit the menorah the way that Hashem told him to light the menorah, right? So Rashi says, What does it have to say that Aaron did what he was told? So Rashi says, Lahagid Shvacha Shal Aaron, to praise Aaron, that watch Loishina. He didn't change what he was told. He didn't change. So everybody's asking, so how does Rashi help? What did Rashi... So all of us know that Aaron was a tzaddik. So if Hashem told him to do something, he did it. Rashi says, Lahagid Shvacha Shal Aaron. Oh, you know how great Aaron was? Shal Loishina. He didn't change what he was told. So what does that mean? How does that help us understand the Pshat? So the Arugas Abaisim said an unbelievable thing. He said, you know, Aaron HaKohen was a Jew that was in love with Hashem. But he had in his life, there was one horrible day that was haunting him his entire life, the later part of his life. What day was that? The Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. Because with all of his cheshbonos, which were holy, he was involved. To the point that when it came time to sanctify the Mishkan and for him to bring the first offering, Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell him, Krav al Mizbeach, come Aaron, come to the Mizbeach. The Ramban explains from Chazal that when Aaron looked up and he saw the animal standing there, you know what he imagined? The golden calf. Now, could you imagine? That I should approach, Aaron was thinking, they want me. He felt, even though the behemoth was waiting to be sacrificed, to be slaughtered. When Aaron looked at it, he saw what? The Egel Azov. The guilt. All he could see was the Egel Azov. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, Krav al Mizbeach. So Rashi says, listen to how the Rugas Abayisim explains Rashi. Lahagid Shvacha Shal Aaron Shalei Shina means this. That even though Aaron lived filled with guilt, filled with what? A guilt that he couldn't get over. But any time in his life when it came time to doing a mitzvah, Lahagid Shvacha Shal Aaron Shalei Shina, that means that when it came time doing a mitzvah, he put all of his heart and all of his joy and all of his love into doing the mitzvah, and he didn't change back into that. He didn't feel himself transported back to the Egel Azov, and he was able, through Moshe Rabbeinu's bringing him, he was able to overcome that difficulty. Lahagid shvacha shel Aaron shelo yishina. So the Arugas Abayisim says that every Baal Tshuva, every person who's done something wrong in his life, doesn't just mean the new Baal Tshuva that they call, but every Jew who's done something wrong and is trying to do Tshuva, the Yetzar always tells him when he wants to do a mitzvah, when he wants to daven, the Yetzar always says, oh, look who's all of a sudden become a tzaddik. Have you forgotten what you did? And then you don't feel like daven. You don't feel like learning. It could be by ne'ilah. So you're saying Hashem Ulukim, you're screaming, and the Yetzar says, oh, look over here, Sarishnir. Hashem Ulukim, big tzaddikas. You don't really mean it. And it's not who you really are. Let me remind you who you really are. Lahagid shvacha shel Aaron shel Yishina, that Aaron believed with all of his heart that even though there was something that was wrong and he had a hard time with it, it didn't change the essential Aaron. He remained the essential Aaron, which is a very hard thing for us to understand. But this is the Madrega that's true. This is the truth of what a Jew is. So he says, let's just finish this paragraph. Really, the neshama. You see, there's another funny mistake that we make. We think that our neshama came from a high place, like we said before, like with the Chofetz Chaim. So the neshama came from a high place, and now it's like stuck in this world, light years away from its source. This is a mistake, and it also is a mistake that weakens us. It weakens us. The same way that it weakens a Jew, as I've mentioned many times, that it weakens a person when he speaks about Hashem, he speaks like he turns towards heaven. Like, may God in heaven have mercy upon you. Like, God is somewhere out there. Somewhere over the rainbow. That's where God is. That's not really how a person should say, Avinu shebashamayim, and point to his own chest, point to his own heart. Point to his own eyes, his own ears, his own mind. That's where the Baruch Shalom is. The mistake is that the neshama, even while we're alive, is still in Shemayim. Do you know that? Our neshama is not just in this world. This is only the lower manifestation of who we are. At this very moment, in the Olam HaNeshamas, our neshama exists in God's presence. That's why the Mezuzah Maggid said an interesting thing. That's why Mezuzah Maggid, first of all, he says that sometimes you start laughing for no reason. I don't know if that ever happens. Sometimes you feel happy for no reason. He says it could be an extraordinary event that's happening with your neshama. And it was so powerful that it trickled down here, and you just like feel like laughing. Or he says sometimes, like the Gemara says, Iulochazi, even though you didn't see, but your mazel saw. That means your neshama saw something. So Mizrisha Magid said, it's funny, sometimes let's say somebody trips. So you laugh, you know, so you laugh. My mother has this thing that after the war, she spent some time with the Yesimus in London. And she remembers that she was on a double-decker bus they have in London. To this day, my mother tells a story, and I'm nervous that she's going to collapse from laughing. But she remembers that she was on the bus, and that some lady tripped and came rolling down the stairs. And she has a description of how this lady looked. My mother just laughs every time she doesn't talk about this, you know, maybe once every 7 or 8 years, but when she does, we all crack up. So the Mizrisha Magid said, why would a person laugh when somebody trips? It's an odd thing. Like, or when somebody does something really silly, why would you laugh? So Mizrisha Magid said, you know why? Because being embarrassed is a very big kapara. Rabbi Nachum Breslov said that if you knew what a kapara it was to be embarrassed, you would beg to be embarrassed. If you realized what a kapara it is to be embarrassed. Therefore, when this person, the Mizrisha Magid said, when this person tripped, not if it's something serious, God, but you know, it was something silly. When this person tripped, so your neshama knows on the deepest level in the world of neshamas that at that moment, that person was let off the hook from something that could have happened, God forbid, that would have been terrible. And that embarrassment is going to be a kapara. Therefore, there's a laughter that comes from the world of the neshamas that knows in truth the kapara of that other person. Don't think about that too much, you can go crazy. But I just wanted to let you hear such a thing. It's an amazing thing. That a tzaddik who knew the truth let us in a little bit on that world. So he says that you have to realize this. That the neshama is l'mal v'goyif hemiroyim v'chol oylem esel yoynim akisei akove d'hainu she v'chol oylem v'oylem yesh v'chelek kodesh mehan neshama k'deisha shalonim. Right now, in all of those worlds, your neshama is there. It's not just when you're 120 or before. Right now. That's why. That's really the avla. That's really what's so sad when a person does neveira. The saddest thing about neveira is that it's not just that you're schlepping your little self into the schmutz. The saddest thing about neveira, the Baal Tanya uses a very strong lashon, which I'm careful to say not as explicitly as he does. But in the Tanya, he uses a lashon that when a Jew is doing something which is against Hashem, it's like he's taking the head of the king and putting it into the toilet. Which means that at that very moment, you're taking the neshama hakadosha, that's part of you, and you're forcing it into something which you're forcing into Achashverosh's life, and it's the neshama is in terrible pain. That's the real tragedy of a sin. If we really weren't great, then what's the great tragedy of a sin? The great tragedy is because our greatness becomes caught up in our stupidity. That's the sad thing. But in Panemius, on the deepest level, the truth is that never ever can the neshama of a Jew be diminished. Therefore, the Ari HaKadosh says that anytime that a Jew does an aveira, the highest level of the soul does not participate. Nefesh ruach mei, but the highest level of chai and yechida, there are higher spiritual levels even than neshama. It's called chai and yechida. They don't participate in the aveira of a Jew. They run away. It's like Asta Malka. The highest part of who a Jew is can't participate. Can't be part of that. So he ends and he says this paragraph, Ayodam Ashpi Hashem Zbar Kedusha Atzumah V'Aris Nefloim V'Siyu Adi V'Chazak Al-Achelak HaKotn Shal HaNeshama Shalanu Shnimitza B'Sarich HaGuf. You should know that Hashem is ready and there, that Neshama is going to help you any single moment, that you strengthen your resolve, the Neshama is there to help you. V'Klal HaRishon Hu. This therefore is the first klal, the first principle of what we're learning when it comes to removing the obstruction to Simcha. Sha'afil Acheres Garbus HaYetzar HaGedel B'Yaisa. That you should know, even after the biggest Yetzar got the better of you, Nishar HaYehudi Dovig B'Dveikas Atzum El Hashem Zbaruch, that the Jew remains completely attached to Hashem. Ki Iku HaNeshama Kedesh Shaloi, because that's the Iku of who you are. Shichelik Elokim Imal Mamish. V'Hashem Zbaruch Molei B'Ahava Atzum Elov. And that Hashem is still desperately in love with you, despite this mistake. Despite this mistake. He loves you in a much deeper way that any human being is capable of loving another human being. You know, Yontov, we say, right? What does it mean? We say Yatav Dadim, that Hashem has lifted us above, exalted us, Ramatana Mikala Shinus. You know the Baal Shem Tov said that means on a deeper level? Hashem loves us so much, Mikala Shinus. He can't, even Hashem can't think of a lashon to express his love for us. That even Hashem can't come up with the right word to describe his love. Ki nishmo suhi chad mamish, the neshama of Jew is mamish, one with Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hihi hamahus amitis va'atzmiyis apnimis shekol hayehud. And this is the essence and the inner reality of who Jew really is. Bez Hashem, next week, that sounds like Shifi. Yeah. Yeah. Once the Baal HaTanya was davening, they were davening Kol Nidre. They were davening Kol Nidre by the Baal HaTanya. And there were around 3,000 Jews screaming and yelling, you can imagine. And all of a sudden the Baal HaTanya threw his towels off his head and he went all the way to the back of the shul. And they didn't know what happened to the Rebbe, to the Baal HaTanya. People ran after her, and they saw that there was a little baby, that the women went into daven, there was a baby that was crying. And the Baal HaTanya went to hold the baby, by Kol Nidre. So the Chassidim couldn't believe. How could he have heard that? He was all the way in front by the Aron, and there were thousands of Jews screaming and yelling. And the Tanya said, when a Jewish child cries, then you have to hear. Right? So you should know that it's not only a mother hearing a baby and recognizing the voice, but it means what we're learning tonight also, that a Jew has to recognize that part of himself that is real, that's crying, to be part of this world, to be expressed in his life. And it's a voice that we can recognize, Bez Hashem. Next week we'll continue to attack this, some of the mistaken concepts that we have that prevent us from feeling simcha. And after we go through some more of this, we'll be able to then focus on things that we'll be able, once we've removed some of the obstacles, to increase and to infuse more of that natural simcha on a day-to-day basis into our lives. Yashakai.